Okay, now watch your language. Just watch your language there, Axel and Grace. And
the only thing I love watching language is when I keep quiet.
Well, I came over here at 5 o'clock today, and I thought that I would...
Is that introduction?
I thought that I would let you go home and go to bed early. I mean, I thought I would go home and let you go to bed early. You know that little thing hanging on the wall? Over there? Isn't that from the Ketchikan convention?
It is. Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, I still have mine. That's a canning jar lid.
From the Ketchikan convention.
Well, anyway, we're here in Nome talking to Axel Edmond, the incoming president of the Pioneers of Alaska, right?
All right. Unless we're on the air now, are we?
Yeah, unless you get impeached. Well, we've had a joke about that tonight. But seriously, Axel, I don't want to take a lot of your time tonight. And I know Grace has to get up and go to work and earn the living for both of you tomorrow. I'm just kidding.
She's the breadwinner.
But I'd like to find out when you came to Nome and when Grace came to Nome.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll tell you this thing. I came to Alaska in 1924, which is 50 years ago. And I came to Nome, I guess, 1931.
You came to Alaska in 24?
1924, right.
To where? Southeastern?
No, I came to Kennecott.
Oh, Kennecott.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I worked in the Kennecott copper mine in the year 1924. I came up on the steamer Northwestern steerage because I didn't have anything else to come up when I...
Sounds like my husband. He came up steerage when he came back from college outside.
And then from 1924, then I went up to Keokuk in 1925, went prospecting up on John River, which is now the pipeline
No, the pipeline doesn't go up the John. The John goes up through Anacharsis.
No, I mean about the same area.
Pretty close, yeah.
Like over Anaktuvuk Pass. So I went in with Sir Wilkins' Arctic Expedition.
Hubert Wilkins?
Hubert Wilkins.
You did?
Yeah.
How'd you get...
It was Captain Wilkins at that time.
Captain Wilkins. How did you meet him?
Well, I was up prospecting on the John River, and the expedition came by, and I joined the expedition. Oh. That was in 1926. So I went up the barrel, and I have a story written, and there's a book coming out, and I'm not going to disclose too much of my experience in the Arctic.
But you did
in this
up,
particular deal.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't want to get into that. You know, if you have something that you're going to do with it, but you did. You know, just the fact that you came up here and met Sir Hubert Wilkins in 26 and went with him to Barrow.
Right.
I had no idea that until tonight.
You didn't, I came back to Nome in the fall of 1926 on the Revenue Cutter Bear, which is now no more. You know, the...
I know pictures of it. I've seen pictures
right there,
of it.
Right there, it's on the wall right there.
Yeah, that's a beauty.
1926.
Is that a print?
It's a print, uh-huh.
Yeah,
that's
a beauty.
Mm-hmm. So?
Did the bear get churned up in the ice?
No, the bear, it was, they were towing it to someplace after.
Recent years.
Towing it from England or what it was. I don't know what happened to the bear. But it sank and it's gone. There's no more bear.
So you came back in the fall of 26 back to this area to Nome?
No, I came back to Alaska then in 1927. And I came to Nome in 1931. And in 1931, I got implicated in the restaurant here in Nome in 1931. Then the fire came along in 1934, and I married Grace in 1934 because
in 35,
I figured I started to say.
You married.
Huh?
35, wasn't it?
35, yeah. But the fire was 1934, so I married her in 1935 to rescue her from the embers of the fire in 1934.
Why, that was very noble of you.
Wasn't that the best thing?
Very, very noble of you. You must have robbed a cradle.
Yeah, at that time she was only a youngster and I was an oldster. But we got along pretty good. An oldster and a youngster, they could work together, you know, if you do it the right way.
And you're still together.
After 40 years.
Is that 40 years?
It would be 40 years, the April
21st.
April 21st, 19.
75.
Mm-hmm.
April 21st,
1975.
Is that right?
40
years.
40 years married to the same.
Time, isn't it?
You know, I can't understand how I could stand it that long, but I made it.
Well, I don't know how you feel, but I can empathize with Grace.
You know, you don't know the hardship I went through in all those years, those 40 years.
Well, tell me about the hardships when you courted her. Did it take you a long time to corner her? And
hell no, it didn't take long.
Oh, did
oh no. She was at our doorstep every day, but I didn't have a doorstep.
Yeah, okay. I think that's enough from your side of the story now, Grace. Axel. Grace, you tell me the story. When did you meet Axel? Was it?
Probably in 1934, about a year before we were married.
And he was just going through Nome?
No, he had
a restaurant.
Just come
back.
And I had a job waiting table. That's where I met him.
I owned a restaurant. She waited table.
Oh, I see.
And she was paid 35 cents an hour.
Was she worth it?
Is that right?
That's right.
35 cents an hour.
Mm-hmm. I was, I don't know, what was I doing?
But
I was in school and there weren't many jobs in those days, you know. So I was lucky he didn't get a job at 35 cents an hour, and then he'd cook me a good meal every night, you know. So
$21
a
week.
Was he a pretty good cook?
Yeah, he was a pretty good cook.
$21 a week.
What did you get paid?
I never got paid at all.
He was the owner.
You owned it, so you didn't get paid.
Yeah, I lost all of them. That was just a freezing gratis, gratuitous. What was he?
You know, as a 1974 visitor to Nome, I think that Nome could stand a good restaurant. Why don't you consider going back into the restaurant business?
You know, yeah.
I'm serious. There's only the Golden or the North Star
and the Roadhouse, which is pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good for mm-hmm. dinner, but you know, you just can't go down there and grab a sandwich at mm-hmm. lunchtime.
But you know what? One thing, that's the last thing I would ever do in my life is to start a restaurant again.
Yeah, well, I'm not really serious when I suggest
20
it.
People asked me to run for mayor in Nome, and that's the second worst.
But they say the restaurants are very poor, but see, we never go downtown and eat.
I don't think the restaurants are very poor.
The food is poor.
Well, I've eaten in the North Star, or mm-hmm. the Nugget One, or whatever they call it mm-hmm. now. And twice I've had, I had breakfast there yesterday and lunch today, and it was mm-hmm. it was good. But it's just, you know, there's no other place to eat, and there are a lot of, it seems to me there are a lot of people coming and going.
But it's because it's so crowded, we just never go downtown and eat. We come home for dinner, we'll have a fried egg or just anything in preference to going downtown.
Well, what do they do here in the summer for tourists?
You're recording all this now.
I don't know, I have it on.
Is it chit-chat, huh?
Yeah, I have it on.
Well, the tourists eat down there, and they're very crowded, yes. Hotel space and restaurant space.
Do you want me to turn it off?
No. It doesn't make any difference to me, no. You can cut it off. You can cut parts of it off when you want to edit the thing.
I'll edit it.
Huh?
Now that I found out when you came to Alaska, I want to ask Grace when she came to Alaska.
Well, I was born in Nome, so if I tell you when I came to Alaska, I'd be telling you how old I am.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't think of asking you that. But what your name...
Swanberg.
Swanberg. Mm-hmm. And you were born in Nome.
I was born in Nome. My mother and dad were married in Nome in 1901. And my mother passed away in Nome. My father was almost passed away in Nome.
Well, did the Swanbergs, didn't they mine over here?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Seems to me that I hear some
hydraulic mine in the early days. Mm-hmm. On Osborne Creek. Mm-hmm. That's all my dad ever did was hydraulic mine, and I remember my mother cooked in the camp, and I was 6 months old, and she took me up there, and she was cooking, and I was
practicing. How far is Osborne Creek from Nome? Is it just right out of Nome, or?
What would you say? It's up to the camp. It was about 15 miles. Although there was no road going up there. We went out with the horses. Mm-hmm. And there was a road. There's a road going to the Nome River now, but on the other side, we had a two-horse team, and we went up to the camp with the wagon.
But it's not...
I might inject enough. Something in this story now.
Okay.
If you want to get a true, authentic story, because... Grace and Dad and I were mining together. We lived together in the cabins, and her dad told me the story of how he came to Alaska. He didn't come to Nome. He didn't come to Iditarod. He didn't come any place. He came to Hope. Hope.
Oh, Hope.
In Dawson. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was 1896.
To Hope?
Yeah, Hope. You know, Hope. Mm-hmm. Sunrise, Hope, and Sunrise.
Yeah, by.
So he stayed in. So he stayed in Hope and Sunrise till about 1898, and he decided to go to Klondike, and he went over to Chilkoot Pass, Klondike. Mm-hmm. All right. Then after the Klondike stampede was over, he bought a Peterborough canoe in Dawson. And it floated down the Yukon River and arrived in Nome in 1900, I believe.
1900.
Is correct.
1900. That's where he met my mother.
And he floated all the way down
here. Your mother was here.
My mother.
He married his mother, Grace's mother, in 1901.
And she was here already.
She came from San Francisco with another girl, and they heard about the stampede in Nome, and they came up here to work and to make their fortune. And this is where she met my father, and they were married in 1901.
In the year 1900, or 1901, Grace's mother was cooking in the roadhouse down at Safety. Safety. Grace's dad was freighting over to Council with a team of horses, and they got stranded overnight there, and he met Grace's mother. All right. Apparently, romance started there, and the following year they were married.
They were married in May 1901.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, all right. I can tell more than she can because she doesn't remember all this. So then, in 1901, they moved over to Council. Their family, and mm-hmm. they had two children.
No, they had one.
My first, Harry,
was born in Council.
Right.
Your brother?
My first brother, and he died later. He was born in 1902, I think. He was their firstborn, and he died when he was 4 years old. And when they lived in Council, see, they only had the one boy.
Right.
And the other, my brother and I had a sister, we were born in Nome. My brother lives in Nome.
It's Charlotte and...
Yeah, my sister passed away many years ago, so there's only my brother and myself mm-hmm. left.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you take over me now. I give them the...
Well, I don't know what
and
else
there so is. You were born in Nome?
I was born in Nome.
And you've lived here all your life?
Well, we were outside during the war years for 5 or 6 or 7 years, and then we came back to Nome to live. And Nome was home, in Alaska in particular.
You know, this afternoon I was talking to Edith is his name, his wife's name.
Edith Walker?
Morgan?
No, the pilot, the old...
Tony Schultz?
Vernon?
No, Vernon Bookwalter.
Bookwalter, mm-hmm. yeah. And they are really pretty recent people in Nome.
Well, for the past 8 or 9 years, and this is their home, and they want to stay here.
And, it's just, usually uh-huh. you find senior citizens like that. I mean, that's I consider them senior citizens. He's
He's 82 or 83 years old, and she's in the late 70s.
I called John Poling to be sure and notify you, to tell you to go over and see
him. Yeah, I wanted to see him when I was here, but
But Mike, the Buchwalders lived out of, was it Sterling? Did she tell you just where they live? They lived in the interior before they came to know.
And they lived in Skagway, in Southeastern.
But they have found a place where they... to retire, and they wouldn't leave here for anything.
They sold whatever property he had.
Yes, they like it here, and they have a comfortable little home, and this is where they want to spend their days.
They seem real content.
It's probably because the people are so friendly. See?
Yeah, that's right. And you see other people in other parts of the world that age, and they just want to go to the other end of the world.
She is close to 80, because I know a couple years ago she was 77.
She's 84.
No,
he is.
But he's great, isn't
he? He was born in 1892.
In 92. See, he was 82 just this past summer.
And he's still fine. Mm. He still has a...
Yes,
fine,
he still maintains his license. Yeah. Oh, he's wonderful.
But anyway, I enjoyed visiting with him this afternoon.
She always comes to the Pioneer meeting. She was out last Friday, and she loves it.
But it just is, to me, it's heartening to see someone like that.
It is.
They're not really old-timers in the Nome area.
Not in the Nome area.
Though they've lived in Alaska a great many years, and they like it here.
But it's surprising, they'd been all over and they came to Nome, you know, which is, some people think it's the end of the world. Mm-hmm. They came to Nome, and this is where they want to live and die. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to understand. Mm-hmm. But I know when we retire, Alaska's still going to be our home. We may go out in the wintertime when it's real cold, but we'll always spend our summers, as long as we're able to, right here in Nome. Or somewhere in Alaska.
You know what we can do, Mike? We can keep this old place here as our, you know, it's comfortable and hell.
Beautiful home.
Right.
It's really simple. Lovely.
For two people, all we need.
Do you have any children?
I don't think so. I don't recognize the memory.
No, he doesn't think so. I expected an answer like that out of
him. Did you?
But
But
you know, there's so many places in Alaska I'd like to see. I'd like to have a car and drive in the summertime and drive down the highway or out of Fairbanks or Anchorage. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, I would move to the States in the Sun City, Arizona or California location.
We got a new pickup. We got a new car. We got a snow track sitting back there, 6 passenger snow.
And 3 summer homes up north.
We have 3. Yeah. We have Kustrin, Council, and Osborne. Kind of wish I could take you out to Osborne and show you that.
Well, when you come for the convention,
it's the most beautiful. It looks better than this house here.
Next fall, whenever the date is.
Well, convention, yeah.
Well, tell me about, you came up here by yourself, but you were born here.
I was born
your parents came here. Hmm. Did your father come over the Chilkoot?
My father came over the Chilkoot Pass.
Mm-hmm. And did your mother?
No, she came on a boat from San Francisco. And she met my dad.
She came from there to Nome.
To Nome. She didn't know my father. And she met him, as Axel says, down in the roadhouse. Mm-hmm. So, during the spring or during the winter when he was stormbound, that's where she met him.
He was freighting the council.
And they were married in 1901.
Well, do you remember any of his exploits over the in the Klondike or in the Dawson area? Do you remember his stories about walking the Chilkoot Trail?
Oh, I can remember when I was a child, he told me these tales all the time, and we have pictures. He had a saloon at a place called Elkhorn, and I have pictures of it.
At Dye.
Dye? No, Dye. It was the Elkhorn Saloon at Dye, and I have pictures of it.
Mm-hmm. And he bought a horse, a clubfoot horse, wasn't that something?
Clubfoot horse?
Yes, and I have the original document, Mike, that he got. And there was also a document from the Yukon Territory where he bought a keg of rye whiskey, and I have that document. So some of these things should go in a museum.
And
or the University Archive.
The first thing, where are you going to find them first?
Oh, I know where they are.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Yeah, think about the University Historical Archives.
But when you see a document...
You can put them there and you
it's dated 1898, you know.
I can't even find my contract with Sir Hubert Wilkins. I wouldn't know where to look.
Oh, I know where he is.
Yeah, I know, but you know it.
He has a bill of sale dated in 1898 for this horse that he bought. And it's in real good condition. So I think it should go to a museum.
Would you like to see that contract for Sir Hubert Wilkins in 1926?
I don't. It's not in here, is it? It's down in that box in the bank.
Probably in the vault. I suppose.
But he has his original contract with Wilkins in 1926. But I'm.
Great. But let me just digress here a little bit. If you want a safe place for documents like this, you know, that you want to preserve and want to make certain that they're preserved historically, the archives at the university is a really good place for them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have certain things that you don't want anybody to look at for 30 years or 20 years or if you don't care, you can just put certain restrictions on them. You say, just, you know, put them in there and let anybody look at them. But if,
I don't think we have anything like that.
But there are a lot of people, though, with historical histories in Alaska.
Unbeknownst to maybe some of the people, that we have the original papers that was issued at Council of Alaska. It's back, way back. I sent the whole bundle of papers over to University of Alaska.
The council papers. They
have
them copied.
They have copied, minographed. I mean,
they are microfilmed.
Mm-hmm. Microfilmed the whole thing, and they sent them back to Nome. Yeah. So I give them to the drunken editor down here, the Nome Nugget, and they're still down there. He says, well, so I asked the other
answer. But they are, you just have to get them back.
He took parts of it, and he put it in the paper once in a while. So
well,
I asked
go get them.
So I asked him the other day, I said, where are those papers? Well, he says, I don't exactly know where they are now. That's the originals.
Well, go.
You should get them because they
are
the.
Just go down there and.
They are the original papers
you get
that were published in councils.
You're going to be down there tomorrow?
I'll be there in the morning or later.
Just go down and get them.
Go ahead and ask him where those council papers are.
Yeah.
I would like to look them over.
You should.
But see, they are microfilm. They're over at the university.
Yeah, they're microfilm now, but the originals are down there with that drunken editor.
Yeah.
It's so easy to lose things, you know?
I would go down tomorrow and the next day. And
Why don't you ask
him? It's up to you to ask him, Axel, not for Mike to ask him. It's up to you to
ask him. Well, I'll
ask him.
I'll
ask him where they are. He said they were in the office there.
You lend him pictures of the fire, you never get it back. You get nothing back. Why don't you ask for him, Mike?
I will. I know how valuable they are.
The original council papers.
I will.
They're back to 19... Oh, I don't know. The first, council in the history?
It's in the early 1900s.
But if you have other documents, you know, that you want to preserve, and if the university would really like to, in their
This is already in my...
They already have those.
Yeah, but if you have other things, like your contract,
I'll tell you what they did, Mike.
Put a restriction on it. Mm-hmm. You don't want somebody to copy it, or to look at it, or do anything with it. You know, or you just put a restriction on it. When you send it in, say, I don't want anybody to look at this for 2 years or 20 years.
I'll tell you what we did.
And they will honor it.
Mm-hmm.
This lady from the University of Alaska, I don't remember her name now. She asked me for those papers. And she hand-packed them over there.
Mm-hmm.
And they came back, registered mail.
Elizabeth Suckling's sister over there.
Right. She's the one that...
Her
and
sister.
So,
Minnie Wells.
All right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So,
and she sent them in.
Out of good and good heart, I give them to Elbro Gregory.
When was
you
this?
Didn't give them?
Oh,
to
hell,
him
about
here.
Four. No, I didn't give them. But it must be 4 years ago.
Oh, God. Go down there and bug him on it.
So,
because if you don't get them back pretty soon, they might get lost.
Yes.
They might get
what he did, he used it in the Nome Nugget, so on, and they had dog race and all that. So I asked him, I said, can I get those papers back? Yeah, he said, I'll get them back, but I don't think they're in order now. I bet the damn things are thrown away.
Well, I don't think so. He's got a pile of junk stuff in there.
No, they're not thrown away. He wouldn't throw them away.
Why don't you ask him about it?
I will, tomorrow.
Oh.
Mike, we have a book here. It's titled Nome in Seward Peninsula by Harrison. There are very few of these books around, but I think the university probably has one. It's about Nome and the early days. I don't know whether you've seen it or not.
No.
It's a collector's item. It tells about the...
We finally got this.
Souvenir edition.
Canada.
Yeah, we got it from Shuri's bookstore. Mm-hmm. And there are very few editions, but that is one of the most interesting books.
What's it? Father Divine compliments?
Yeah, they bought it from Canada.
Well, something. See, that's how we got it from Shuri's bookstore. We had our name in there for years, and we finally got it. See? But it gives a history of Nome in the early days.
Is that right?
In the early days, there's pictures in there of the, just thumbed through it, the early days and the people and the mining and everything. That is a very interesting edition. They probably have one at the university.
You don't have it now. They'll never get another one.
See, we got it from... It's a collector's item, like I say.
Well, you know, they had the whole Skinner edition at the university. And that's a marvelous collection. Mm-hmm. Of, not the Skinner edition, the Skinner collection. Just in the regular stacks in the library.
But this is Nome.
Yeah.
This is about Nome in itself.
Mm-hmm. It's likely that Skinner had that in his personal
It might
collection.
Be. It might be.
But I'll make a note of that.
Just to see if they do have it. Because we had our name in the Shuri's bookstore for years before we got it.
Nome and Seward Peninsula.
By Harrison. Mm-hmm. Tony Paulette had an edition of it.
Well, we had research in there for so many years before we got them. And... We finally got one, and it came from Canada.
Well, they sold it to the
$60, I think, was what we paid.
Well, the bill's still in there.
Yeah, I think it's $60. Mm-hmm. I think it's $60.
But I can remember at the time, you know, we thought, we had our name in so long. If it had been $160 or $260, we would have bought it.
Mm-hmm. $60.
See, it's still in there, and that is a valuable book.
You couldn't buy it for. $300 a day.
No, they're difficult to find right now. But I just wonder if the university has it. You might. That's the history of Nome.
You don't. We might donate that.
Well, we might. If Nome had a museum that, you know, their items were protected, but they're not. So.
We don't have a museum here, Grace. We have nothing.
No. Eskimos. Did I tell you about the wolf?
The wolf rug?
Wolf rug I bought today.
Oh, Christ.
No, I'm not going to tell you about that. I'm just kidding.
But, you know, we've been collecting, Axel's been collecting books for so long. We have Stephenson's editions.
Got a whole library here.
Yeah, we
books.
Have Alaska books.
I have just about every book on Alaska that's ever published.
The early day ones. We have a...
Like the Friendly Arctic and all those explorers. I was an explorer one time, and I explored so far, and I got caught. I got married.
To get back to your younger years, where were you born?
I was born and raised in Sweden.
In Sweden.
What are you writing now? Are you
I haven't read anything. I'm just taking it down.
Yeah.
Well, when were you born? And when? When? What year?
I was born in 1904.
1904? In Sweden.
Right.
And you came to the United States when?
1923.
So that you were 19.
Right.
Did you speak any English when you came to
Not
Sweden?
Not a word.
Were you a stowaway?
No, I came over steerage.
So, where did you go when you first came to the United States?
Well, I spent about a year in the States, and I came up to Alaska in 1924. And you want to know how I learned my English language?
Well,
I got married, and I slept with a sleeping dictionary. I mean,
Axel, you spoke long before you married me. Long before you married me. That wasn't me then.
Well,
somebody else,
eh? 10 years, I guess, or something.
You speak good English. Have you been back to Sweden?
If I like to, but if I don't like to, I can speak broken to. I can say to you, oh,
we went back to Sweden in, what year? The year of the Olympic Games in Oslo.
1952, uh-huh. Wasn't it? I couldn't even speak Swedish then. I had a heck of a time to do it, but I got along.
Axel's mother and father were alive, and we went back there. He has a brother over there. Mm-hmm.
They both did.
Do you speak Swedish with anybody here in Nome?
I can speak Swedish.
Meet Willie Brown down the street, and you'll speak to him, or
Willie Brown? That doesn't sound like a Swede to me.
No, but he's
Swedish. He's better very Swedish good. Than I can, I think.
You got a black spot on your nose. What is
it? Where is it?
That's where you hit him tonight.
Gully is black. Is what do you have in your hand?
He's something there.
Oh, there.
Is it gone now?
No. It's getting bigger.
Where is it?
It's just spreading all over.
My hand maybe is dead soot, I guess.
Well, you don't have a coal stove or a wood stove. Must be a black iron where I gave you.
And I'll tell you, we used to, Mike. How about a little more brandy?
Well, just a little touch. Your touch is pretty heavy. That's enough. Thank you.
Are we
one? Oh, definitely, yes. No way.
This bottle's like kind of heavy now.
You know something, though, when we go down to Sitka this fall,
you mean in 2 weeks?
In 2 weeks.
A little brandy's going to help in the morning.
Yeah.
Mike, what kind of brandy do you buy when you buy
it? I just buy whatever the winos are buying. Christian Brothers.
That's what this is.
Yeah. I always carry a big purse and I can slip a pint in there. And on a Sunday mornings when all the bars are closed.
A little brandy's
and
good,
all,
isn't
you
it?
You know, after Saturday night, almost everybody at the convention has a hangover. Or not almost everybody, but there are a few prudes who go to the convention.
Mike? Are the bars closed in the morning in Fairbanks? That's just a city ordinance, isn't it?
Well, I think they're open till. I guess they close at 2 now in the city.
No, but I mean in the morning they open at 8.
Yeah.
But in Nome they can't open at 1 o'clock here. City ordinance.
You mean during the week they don't, Axel?
No,
Sunday. At 9 o'clock they were open this morning.
Sundays they can't open at 1 o'clock.
Oh, Sunday.
Oh, well, that's all right on Sunday.
Mike, do you know the Coulthards in Fairbanks? No. They belong to Pioneers.
Coulthards?
Well, now look at that now. Isn't it time you're looking? what kind of a darn drink is that? Huh?
What do you think it is? Here.
It's a known brandy.
Brandy. Skull.
It's a known brandy.
He short you the same way?
I'm driving.
No, she didn't drive.
Here. But a little brandy's nice. You know, instead of having dessert, we sit here and might have a brandy or a Kahlua or something like that.
Well, tell me about the Pioneer Convention in Nome next year. You're going to be the grand president of the Pioneers.
I wouldn't have a thing to do with it.
You're not
going
to have a thing to do with it.
No. I'm going to be the presiding officer. That's all I'm going to do.
And you're
going to
designate duties to all your underlings.
That's up to the president of the Igloo. It's not up to the grand president to do it.
We're going to have a grand convention.
Whoever is the president of Igloo number one is the one that does that the duties. I'm not going to do it.
Well, you must have talked about it, that you have some plans. Are you going to take us on a little tour to Siberia? You know, we're pretty close.
That's entirely up to you. If the snow is deep enough, you can use snowshoes, or you can have a dog sled to ride.
Come October, we won't have any snow. That's when it'll have to be.
Where do you want to go, with the little diamond or big diamond?
I'd like to go to Siberia.
Well, that's a big diamond.
No, that's right.
We're going to leave you over there. You're going to be right in the hands of the Russians.
I'll tell them I know that Swede from Nome.
then the Russians probably declare war on the United States if they ever tell them that.
It'll be the end of me.
We're going to have a good convention. Okay.
takes a little while to get into gear, but after Sitka, we'll start planning.
But anyway, you are the first vice president now of the Pioneers of Alaska.
I'm going
to the Grand Igloo.
I'm going to the Grand now.
And you move up as the Grand President
right.
for 75, right?
Right.
And you'll be the president for one whole year. Maybe two. You may get drafted.
No.
Or you may get impeached.
I'd be impeached, and I'd be like Nixon, I'd probably have resigned.
No, you won't. We're actually, people are looking forward to your presidency.
Huh?
I think people in the Pioneers are looking forward to your presidency.
To me?
Just looking to forward to the fact that you're going to be president of the Pioneers.
You know something, Mike? You know, it's a wonderful thing to be or to become the Grand President of the Pioneers of Alaska with the... we have about, I would say, 5,000 members in the Pioneers of the in Alaska today. Mm-hmm. And it's a wonderful thing. But never think that it'll ever go to my head.
Oh, I don't think so. Not with you.
No.
How about your feet there?
it's a wonderful thing. It's something that, like, I probably shouldn't say this, but... When Neva Whaley came over, Neva Egan came over to council our summer home last 4th of July. Grace was up fishing up the river, and Neva came in, and she sat on one of those old cots in the old summer home over there, a building that was built by the time I was born. It was 1904. And sit down on the bed there, and the springs weren't too good, and maybe some wires poked her in the something, and I served her a drink. And so I said to Neva, I says, what do you think of this place? Isn't that the wonderful place here? Oh, she's asking me, it need a paint job. Well, the thing is falling down. The
calcimines falling down.
And so she introduced me to someone that came over at the same time. She says, this is going to be our Grand President of the Pioneers of Alaska in Sitka this fall, and she says, I wouldn't miss her for anything. And I said, thank you, Neva. That's really nice. I should be real proud of that, I suppose.
Well, you should be. It's a real honor. It really is. We've been joking tonight, but it really is a great honor. I just feel honored to be a delegate to the Pioneer Convention. How are you doing?
But you know...
Well, we have like 500 members in our auxiliary there in Fairbanks. Mm-hmm. We're close to 500.
But you know, of about 5,000 members of the Grand Igloo, or Pioneers of Alaska, not Grand Igloo, but 5,000, about 4,800 some members of Pioneers. But you know what Eva told me? Sitting there in the chair. He says, Bill runs for an office, but he'll never have a chance to get the office that you're going to have. You know that? He's not elected.
Mm-hmm.
You have to work up that thing, and I worked 8 years for that office, and she says, you know that, Axel? They can elect somebody, you can buy somebody, you can... But you never buy yourself into an office in Grand President Pioneer Igloo. You can go out, be a mason, you can buy yourself in and get up. You can buy just about everything else, but you'll never do it in the Pioneers. You know that?
I know.
Am I right?
No, yeah.
But you know, there isn't everybody who are proud to be pioneers like we are.
Mm-hmm.
No, they aren't. You know, I came back one time and I said to the pioneers up here, I says, you know, when I come to the lodge in Nome, there's such few members, you know, they think being a pioneer sometimes, they like to sweep it under the rug. They're old-timers if they're pioneers, right. And they don't like to admit it. But I says, I've been somewhere where people are proud to be pioneers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't know what to think of me.
Maybe after this convention...
I wish we
get a few more believers up here.
I don't know. That's, you know, Grace and I spent $15,000 on this convention. Just to...
But you know, Mike, I'm proud to be a pioneer, and I love Alaska, and that's why we live here.
Yeah.
And, you know, but some people aren't proud to be pioneers. They think, oh, we just designate some old fogies or something or other. That's the way some of them, attitudes some of them have.
Even the ones that are born here.
I know.
Yeah.
Speaking of being born here, did you live here all your life, Grace? Did you go to school here?
Yeah, I went to school here. Until 19, the war years, I spent 5.5 or 6 years in the States. And actually used to come out in the wintertime, and he worked up here in the summertime. And I don't know.
I didn't think
we'd ever come back to Alaska to live, but we did, and it's after
the
war.
Were you forced to move out during the war?
No, I moved out because of sickness. I was sick and moved out, and then it wasn't wise to come back, so we stayed in Seattle in the Puget Sound area.
I was out on the airfield.
But Axel was traveling and working, so he'd come out in the winter time. So. But then we came back to Nome. And I've heard people say, how do you live in Nome? Or why do you ever live in Nome? They say, but you know, there's something about it.
Yeah.
A lot of people say that. How do you
ever live somebody, in Nome? Oh, I shouldn't say this.
Just say it anyway. Say it anyway.
Yeah,
Mike doesn't like it, she can cut it out.
Mike.
Nobody else will hear it.
No. But what I heard from Nome, from the delegates going down to the convention and so on, this is the first time that in the history of the pioneers of Alaska, of Eagle number one, that they'll have a grand president presiding over a convention in 1975. First time in the history.
Of somebody from Igloo number one.
Past president of Igloo number one.
I think that's... Yeah. That's why so many are determined to have it here, because they think it's an honor. And I think it is, too.
Oh, I do, too.
I think it's a distinct honor to have
it. You can be a president of some Igloo, and you can go any place. But this is the first time that the convention falls into the same year or category as the time I'm going into grand presidency.
So we'll have a convention.
Oh, God, they're going to have the press here from...
from where?
Siberia?
No. What's the name? Seattle Times.
Stan Patty's
going to be here.
Oh, great. I hope he's in Sitka.
Well, Stan Patty belongs to the Eagle number one.
Does he? We initiated. I initiated him.
Oh, did you?
Eagle number one. Him and Johnson.
Johnson with Alaska Airlines. What's his first name? He belongs.
So it'll be a wonderful thing.
Yes, Stan made a trip up here to join.
Stan Patty made a trip here. It'll be a wonderful thing if you can swing the convention. Somebody's going to have to do it. I think there's any reason why you can't. Do you think so, Mike?
You'll have a good convention. You'll have a good convention.
Wait, I'm going to go out there and beat my head off and then have to take care of that.
As Mike says, it's good administration. You delegate. You get somebody ahead of it.
Figure out what you need, and that's easy to figure out because
good administration delegates.
A lot of communities have had these things. Like, as I was telling you earlier, in Fairbanks we had it in 71, and Bob Huffman and Betsy Sharp ran it, and they wrote up a report afterwards, and they said, you need this, you need this, you need this, and you need this. And so you know what you have to do.
You need managers or a good administration.
You know something, Mike? If we had somebody like Betty Sharp here in Nome, we'd make it, it'd be...
Oh, you got somebody in Nome like that.
The only one I can depend on is my wife.
I know, but we'll have workers.
Depend on Grace.
No, we'll have workers.
Who is the president of your auxiliary now?
Betty Laws, but she hasn't been in Nome all summer.
She lives
over in council. But next year it will be Mary Hansberger, and she's a good worker. She's a good pioneer.
You got the thing still going now. You're not going to run out of tape, are you?
No, I have plenty, but I'm going to cut it off here pretty soon, go home, go to bed.
Please, take you home.
Do you know Mary Hansberg? You must know her. Mary Rao? Her sister lives in Fairbanks. She's Phyllis Friedrichs. You know Friedrichs?
Yeah.
Mary is her sister.
Hope you get over your cold before Sunday.
Oh, I have to. So,
cause if you don't get over that cold, we're not going to go down there.
Take her to Anchorage about 3 days earlier and get her shot full of penicillin or something. Get rid of that cold.
See, I get it right in the throat. I have to go up here.
Go get a shot in the
arm. See, you probably got 1,000 hours of sleep coming. I told her to stay home and go to bed and stay there. Oh, no, no. That office won't operate the doctor.
Yeah, she really ought to do something about it. Well, when is the convention? Is it starts the 10th? That's
10, 11, 2 weeks 12,
from
13.
Tomorrow. 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Huh?
2 weeks from tomorrow.
Right, right. 10, 11, 12, and 13. Yeah.
Well, let's get back to you for a minute, Axel. Well, Grace is in coffee herself today.
What do you want?
Most of the time you've lived in Nome. Have you worked in mining?
No,
construction?
Mining and construction, yeah, right.
Well, did you have a construction company or a mining company? Do you have an A&A?
A&A construction company, yeah.
We A&A?
Built roads, A&A. Yeah, we did millions of dollars worth of work here on Nome.
Did you build the road to Council?
No, huh? Cool Rock.
What about the runway here at Nome? Did you work on that?
No, I didn't work on that, but I built the runway at Deering.
Mm-hmm. Well, have you been actively engaged in mining in the last few years?
About 4 years ago, was the last time around. Mm-hmm. I still have the gold.
You still have the property.
Hey, Grace?
What?
What's happening?
Nothing.
She's just coughing. She really ought to. Has she been taking medication for her?
I don't know. I'll tell you. Mike, I can't tell her to do anything.
Grace, you better go see the doctor about your cough.
She won't go.
I should go up here and get a shot.
Yeah.
You want to go?
Right, it's right in here.
You know, I was just talking to Andrew. The Pioneer Convention starts 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't sit there and cough like that unless I go to the hospital and then do something.
Yeah, get something
go up there tomorrow.
Yeah, and you know, if it's been hanging on for a long time.
No, I've only had it for a week.
Oh, longer than
no,
that.
No, I haven't. I've only had it for a week. It's right in my throat here. See, my...
If it persists,
go get
something for it,
because,
you know,
you... Go to the hospital. You can stay in the hospital for a few days. They won't hurt you.
Take some sick leave.
They do something. Sick leave.
Take a little sick leave.
Yeah. And tell that old spruce out there to hell with them.
Just tell them you got sick.
She got to go out there and run that damn office stuff.
All she has to do is say, I'm
and
sick
And then
of
die. Axel. Die. Die in the chair before she can retire.
Thank you, dear.
Are you going to retire?
I'm going to retire next year.
Mm-hmm. Are you?
Mm-hmm. Never make it 75. Unless you do some.
You should get rid of that cold.
75 is my last year. Then we're going to go to Council and we're going to plant potatoes and do a little gold mining.
No, I don't know about that.
Can you grow gardens here? No.
Greenhouses.
So I'd stay home instead of going out to that goddamn drafty office, Mike. I'd stay home and get over that cold. Wouldn't you? Got 1,000 hours of sick leave? Take it.
It's not that, Axel.
Oh, what is it? They can't get along without you out there. No.
I appeared in court this morning, you know.
You did?
Yes. I got a ticket. I had to go down to court.
I could never
Did you get a ticket?
Oh, I've had a ticket, yeah.
By someone this morning, I got up
for
and
speeding?
I didn't.
No, I got it for passing a car.
I got a ticket for speeding in 1949.
Did you?
And then I got a ticket. It cost me $15 because I was going 15 miles over the speed limit. It was before statehood. And then I got a ticket. I got two parking tickets in Fairbanks 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, this mm-hmm. next month. And the parking meters were faulty.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, they were faulty. I put in a quarter, and we had these parking meters that you put in a quarter and you get 5 hours. Put in a quarter, it registered 5 hours, I'd go back in 2 hours or something, it'd be red. And I had tickets 2 days in a row on the same thing. And I went to court and fought it, and I lost my case.
Did you fight it?
Yeah.
Did you get an attorney?
No, I was my own attorney. And I pled my case and told the judge, you know, and what the problem was. And he had the city attorney there and the parking meter man and the parking, the meter maid and the man mm-hmm. who repairs the parking and the clerk of the court and the district court judge. There were five guys there against me, you know. And I pled my case and told him what had happened. It was my word against this guy's word. So the judge dismissed the charges against me.
Oh, he did?
He didn't find me anything. And he didn't. And it didn't appear on my record.
But was it a faulty?
Well, you know,
it was a faulty. It had to be because I, you know, when I walk up and I put a quarter in a machine, I know mm-hmm. I put a quarter in a machine because
right.
when you worry about parking, you don't have to worry about parking meters in Nome.
Mm-mm. No.
Heck, you could drive down the street backwards in this street in this
what,
town.
You know, what happened to me down there, right in front of the Baron's hydrant. It's dead hydrant. It's absolutely
useless. I actually got a ticket too in court here a couple months ago.
I parked
by the hydrant.
Yeah. So this guy came out and gave me a ticket, and I appeared good, $5. No. Well, the first thing the judge said, you got your rights and so
there
on.
There hadn't been any water in it for years.
So, anyway, I says, Judge, I'll plead guilty. And I say, I understand that the offense that I'm, the offense against me is only $5. He says, that's right.
That was a city offense.
So
see,
I went down
there
and I paid the $5 and I went up to the judge and I said, I paid that under the policy.
Protest.
Mm-hmm.
But I did too.
So the same guy, he's got his cabin parked on our property up in Q Street. But just wait 1 minute till I get that son of a gun. I'm going to put
honey,
up a
he
sign.
But honey, he was the judge. He couldn't.
I know
do
he can't do anything else. I guess. But he doesn't have to read that whole goddamn book.
That's,
to me.
They do that. That's the law. They have to.
I just went there and paid my $5 and get the hell out of there.
You know, Mike, I got up in court today and I felt like I was the FBI.
Prosecuted for
a major
crime.
You know, he read out of the administrative code that...
I think we ought to have another brandy, huh?
No, I don't need another brandy.
Huh? He read how...
You have one.
200... What was the maximum fine was 200... You had no... $250 or so many days or months in incarceration, you know? And he's reading, I felt like somebody that was up for a criminal charge.
Well, he could have put you in jail for 6 months.
Yeah, he could put me in jail. He could do all this, you know, and he read all this out of the book, you know. Do you plead guilty or not guilty? And, well, I just I'd like to say something, you know. But I did pass the car.
Mike, you're going to have one more little brandy? I'm not going to drive you home. Grace's going to drive you home.
How do you
so she better not have any.
I'll call a cab.
No, you
No won't. Way.
But, Mike, see, they claim I passed, which I probably did. I'm not denying it. I passed this car, and they said I wasn't at the crest of the hill. And, you know, I should drive with my rear view mirror because the trooper happened to be right behind me.
Mm. But you know something, Mike? that same place where I got the ticket here about 3 months ago, 2 months ago, to make cars parked in front of that hydrant.
Yeah, but they gave
day
up
after
on
day. And what I give the lieutenants so goddamn much hell, and I give the mayor so much hell that they never issue.
But see, they don't use the hydrant down where accidents
no.
picked up.
No,
there's
they
no
never,
water in it.
Never,
they don't use
never
it.
Issued another ticket, and they park there in front of the hydrant all day long. But I got so damn.
But
mad
you know, I drive in from work, and there was a car in front of me, and I don't. When I'm driving, if somebody's right ahead of me, I don't like to stay behind anyone. That's just the way I am, you know. If I can get out ahead of them, that's where I want to be. So I probably was, I wouldn't fight it because I don't.
Oh, you weren't wrong, no doubt.
Oh, I think I was. But why that little upstart would pick me up, and he was quite a ways behind me, why he would pick me up?
I am.
Could he be so sure that I was...
This lieutenant was standing there right in that ticket, and I got up and I said, listen, you little bastard, I said, you should go back where you came from. Of course, he didn't get mad at me. Then after a couple of days later...
You didn't say that to him,
huh? A couple of days later, I went up to him and I apologized. He says, Edmund, I've forgotten that already.
But I've never had a nice gesture for me to go and apologize to him.
I got one in 49 for speeding.
For speeding?
In Fairbanks,
yeah.
I was going 15 you know, miles over the speed limit. The speed limit was 40 miles an hour, and I was going 55.
You know, most of these fat women get a ticket, don't they?
I don't know.
But, you know, I didn't know he was following me because I was, it was at the end of the day.
Can I have another little...
Don't ask me. It was at the end of the day, and I was anxious to get home, and I had some people in the car, and I was talking. I didn't know he was behind me. Finally, I saw this. I happened to look in the mirror, and here I saw this light blinking to stop, so I pulled over. And this officious little bastard got out of the car, and he came over to me. He says, I'd like to see your driver's license. I says, I don't have one, just like that. You know, I was kind of trying to be funny, you know. He says, you better have one like that. And I said... So I showed my driver's license. He said, I see your registration of your car.
I guess the last advantage is gone,
it's
huh?
in the cupboard. Huh. And then he says, I'd like to see the registration. Oh, so it was up on the... But he was such an officious little son of a gun.
Yeah.
I says, how long have you been in Nome? Oh, he says, since June. And I says, I've been driving this road for 20 years. I could drive it with my eyes closed. I thought I could. And then he should pick me up. I says, you know, I'm the administrative officer for the Department of Highways. He looked at me, just looked through me. He says, well, I'm just trying to do my duty. And so he couldn't give me the ticket then because he didn't know what statute to quote. So he says, I'll give it to you tomorrow. So he comes out about 11:30 and he comes over to my desk. And I says, oh, my land, you're late to serve this summons. And, you know, you picked me up yesterday. He says, well, he says, I've been busy today on this. You know, that's the morning or the night before when those people were killed down at the East End.
Mm-hmm.
And he was such an officious little bastard. I just don't like him. So he's got a cabin over in Council. And I says, Axel, I can just see him up the Neuquik River in his motorboat, and his motor stops. He doesn't have any transportation. I think I'll just go by and thumb my nose at him or something like that.
You'll get the message.
Yeah. Just a young fellow.